children having witnessed very, very adult crimes. There are children who have witnessed rape. There are children who have been shot. These are things that in the Western world we would censor our children from even watching in a film. They don't understand what's happened to them and why they've been targeted in this way. And that confusion you can see in their faces. Like, they really don't understand why this has happened to them.
That's Saidi Klass on what he's seen in Rohingya refugee camps in Bangladesh. Welcome to Global Focus. I'm Zinat Hansrud. Saidi Klass is the head of operations for Lonely Orphans, a UK-based NGO working with displaced Rohingyas. He coordinated a medical humanitarian trip to Bangladesh at the end of last year in partnership with physicians across continents. 10 doctors, mostly surgeons, from Palestine, Sudan, Jordan and Saudi Arabia, travelled to Tankili camp where they saw around 500 patients in 67 days. Most of the cases, they said, were easily treatable, but made worse because of a lack of basic health care in the camps.
One of the first things that you would observe is the close proximity of each shelter, leaving very little gaps for a drainage system, if you like. There are children and, you know, even adults defecating in public because they don't have toilet facilities. Right now it's just a crude shelter in some cases. So that's one of the key things that we've noticed. Very dirty water, very poor access to water. Because they're in a very hilly location, the water pumps are often at the lower end of the terrain. So they have to walk, you know, at least a mile, 2 miles to reach some water. You have to imagine these camps are extremely condensed. There's a lot of people around there, and particularly the location is very sandy. So there's a lot of dust and sand in the air, and the children are playing in this. There was a lot of cases of breathing difficulties. We had a few asthmatic cases. With the elderly, you had a lot of cases of pneumonia. A lot of the women had a lot of issues with thyroid. Must have had about 8 or 10 cases where it was so severe that they needed operations. You know, they're already in a difficult life as refugees, made even more difficult by something that's easily treatable. And we were just addressing those things as well. So a lot of tumours, a lot of hernia operations had to take place. And for us, these are common treatments that we can get at our local clinic or hospital. But for the refugees, this is something that they're forced to live with.
Dr. Jamal Ghoshe is a Palestinian neurosurgeon with 20 years' experience. He's from Jerusalem and is currently working in private hospitals in the West Bank and Gaza. Dr. Ghoshe is one of the founders of Physicians Across Continents, a medical humanitarian organization set up in 2003. He led the medical delegation which travelled to Tankili camp in Bangladesh.
As a neurosurgeon, I saw a good number of patients with spine problems and what we call peripheral nerve injuries because of gunshot to their legs and arms that affected their nerves. These patients complain of back pains and headaches due to possibly neurological or neurosurgical conditions that yet need to be diagnosed. There were recurrent cases. Those patients who were not diagnosed initially and were not treated properly, let's say, they kept coming. And among those, a lot of patients with big heads, like we call them hydrocephalus, which is the water on the brain. And these hydrocephalus patients, all they need is a simple tube inserted from the brain down to the abdomen, where you divert the water, excess water in the brain. Other patients with recurrent what we call otitis media, as I was told by the combining pediatricians, infections of the ear. Again, they were not taking the right antibiotic, not for the right time. They were not be able to get rid of their infections. And there are many patients, really, similar examples to that in every specialty.
The doctors, consultants for most of them, treated the patients in a clinic set up in Tankili camp. Operations were performed in a neighbouring hospital where they undertook 100 surgical procedures, including 10 major ones. Working in a refugee camp has its challenges. Dr. Ghoshe.
The challenges are tremendous, and it's simply lack of facilities in terms of medical equipment, the basic laboratory tests, imaging. You need an X-ray. There's no way you can get this. You need a simple blood test. There's no way you can get that in the camps. You need stretchers to take patients from the tents to the designated clinic in the camps. The logistics to take patients from the tent to the clinic and again to the nearest hospital in Cox's Bazar, which is an hour travel by car. We did not have an ambulance. We did not have the basic equipment, staff availability, and the follow-up of these patients. So there are challenges, there are difficulties at every stage of the work.
Minara is a little girl whose case left an enduring memory.
There are children who have been shot, you know, like they were targeted. One case, her name was Minara, her parents, they were fleeing from their homes, they'd been pushed out, their home was burnt, but towards the Bangladeshi border, they had to encounter the Myanmar border police who deliberately shot and targeted their children. And she was shot in her knees by a border guard. When they were telling us this, this was very unsurprising for them. So initially when she was shot first, we're not sure where she had this treatment. The bullet was taken out, but they did not do a good job at repairing the nerves in her knees. So luckily we had Dr. Jamal Roche, and we managed to, you know, recover up to 80% of the damage that was done on her leg from the bullet, which was an amazing thing because she would have been left in a situation of limping. Her family were very worried about the kind of very visual scarring on her legs because we have to understand this is a very patriarchal community, very patriarchal mindset. So they worry about getting their daughters married off and how that would look. And, you know, the doctor did a brilliant job of reducing the scarring on her leg as well. Repaired her nerve damage and hopefully will go to 100% in the future. But he also removed some of the scarring that was there. Like he did a plastic surgeon's job as well. It's an amazing doctor.
Dr. Jamal Ghoshe remembers little Minara.
I treated a patient who was a five-year-old girl who had a gunshot injury to her leg. And unfortunately, that caused a fracture of the bone, and the bone was causing pressure on the nerve that caused weakness in her leg. That girl we took to the hospital, and we operated on her nerve. We decompressed the nerve, and we had to stitch part of it to another one. She had a smooth recovery and a good surgery, but we would have wished that she had this surgery a much earlier date.
That was a very complex surgery?
Well, I wouldn't say complex. It's a straightforward surgery in a good facility for a neurosurgeon. I mean, any neurosurgeon can perform this surgery, but I would call it complicated or complex surgery in that setup because the challenges are tremendous. Even what we think is simple cases and what we take for granted in neurosurgery. Complex neurosurgery, you can never think of doing this stage in the Rohingya community and in the nearby hospital facilities available at the moment. That was one case we always wished that we treated earlier. Another patient, I can remember right now, we had images of a boy who had a tumor that has been left for some time. And that boy, the tumor was coming out of his eye. It's an eye tumor. It was growing so badly, and we were about to go and attempt to operate on him, having a plastic surgeon, myself as a neurosurgeon, and a consultant anesthetist. But unfortunately, during the preparation, he died because he was not diagnosed earlier, or he was diagnosed earlier, but the facilities were not available. So these are two patients I remember. One night I've never seen, but I saw the images and left a feeling of sorrow in myself that should I have attended them earlier, the results would have been different.
The doctors who volunteered to be part of this medical delegation in Tankele camp are, for most of them, highly specialized surgeons. And that's how physicians across continents differ from other medical humanitarian organizations, by providing high-end care in crisis situations. Al Sayed Ikhlas says the doctors, despite a heavy workload, still find time for humanitarian work.
The senior surgeons, I mean, we have to understand these guys are running clinics, making a lot of money as well, and they had to sacrifice that time. They did this purely on a humanitarian mission for themselves, which was an amazing thing on their part. We know some of them, when they shut up their clinics, they're looking at, what, $3,000 a day they potentially lose out, and they're very senior surgeons. Without them, the clinic wouldn't run.
Then why do they do it? Dr. Jamal Ghoshe on why he volunteers as a neurosurgeon, something the Palestinian doctor started doing shortly after graduating some 20 years ago.
When you grow up in a territory like Palestine, a territory with a lot of political tension and oppression. There are a lot of suffering resulting people who need help. And you realize how important when other people offer you the help, what you really need. And being a doctor, being a neurosurgeon, I always say to myself, you know, why not spare some of my time to help those people in need, wherever they are on this earth. The way I look at it simply that life is short, and we as human beings are existing this life for a purpose. All I can say is that, you know, one day we all will leave this life. Only our deeds will be carried with us in the life thereafter. That's why we should struggle and make sure that all these deeds are good ones.
Physicians across continents, as part of its modus operandi, left a working clinic in Tankerley Camp, which is currently being operated by GPs. That's all for Global Focus, and it's goodbye from me, Zenith Hansrode.